Hi, this is Mark Rathbone from Save Us All. Tonight I thought I'd add to my audio blog because I haven't done it for a while. And on the weekend I was talking to some young people who were thinking about getting into farming. And also I've noticed quite a few older farmers getting out of that just because they're getting too old. So I thought I'd talk about how to get into farming or what to choose, because the people that I was talking to was thinking, what will I do? Will I do dairy? Will I do orchard? Will I do veggies? So I thought long and hard about this process, so I thought I'd take you through what I was thinking and maybe that might help. Okay, stay tuned. Alright, tonight I made some notes as to what I might do here tonight, so I'm just seeing if I can go to the notes on my computer, on my phone, and talk to you at the same time, which it seems that I can. So, as I mentioned to you before, I was talking to some young people at the farmers market on the weekend, and we were talking about getting into farming, and they were pretty much wondering what they might do in that realm. And whether they go to orchard, whether they go into dairy or beef or chooks or whatever. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about that, so I thought, you know, I might just take you through my thought processes as to why I chose this vegetable farming mission. And that might help you decide as to what you might like to do. So I might just run through the list of all the things that you could do and the pros and cons for each. I'll do it from my perspective. Of course, you have your own wants and goals and the things that you like doing, and I think that's probably the underlying thing of all of it. It's about what you have available to you and also what you enjoy doing, because we spend a lot of time working, and also farming can be quite difficult. So if you don't enjoy what you do, you're not going to stick at it. So that's probably the underlying thought that you should have. What do I enjoy doing? Now, I was brought up on a dairy farm, and I always was looking at the clock and didn't really enjoy milking twice a day. Didn't really enjoy the whole animal husbandry thing. I thought in some respects dairy farming was a bit cruel, you know, calves being sold off as babies, and you know, when you had to operate on a cow because it was sick, or to see cows go through the drought and go hungry, it was rather difficult to deal with. Plus they'd get out occasionally and you'd have to get up in the middle of the night and chase them. So for me, dairy farming wasn't it. But if you love dairy farming, then that's fine. Some of the other downsides to dairy farming: if you want to sell direct to the public, to set up a cheese factory or something like that, a yogurt factory, is quite a capital expensive thing. And also it's fairly highly regulated. The good sides to dairy farming, I guess, is that it's a regular thing. The cows do most of the harvesting for you, in that they walk out to the paddock every day and pick the grass. You've only got to milk them and harvest the milk off. There seems to be a lot of people who still like milk and cheese and yogurt, so it is always a good market currently. And I think that's about all I can really think of, considering I come from that perspective. The one thing that I wanted to do too was I always wanted to sell direct to the farmers markets, and I felt that dairy, you know, you've got to have refrigeration. You've got to have good infrastructure, like cool rooms and vans with refrigeration in them, etc. So there's a fair bit of expense involved with that. So you've got to sell a fair bit to pay for all your capital expenses. The other thing you could do is beef and sheep, which we did a bit of on the dairy farm, and I never chose to do that. It was partly my father's thing. And again, you know, I got quite friendly with the animals, so I didn't like to see them go off in the truck to be slaughtered. So that's always hard. But and then also the cost of the or the return per acre is quite low. You need quite an expanse of land to grow beef and sheep, unless you have a farmer's market or some direct market where you can get a higher margin for your animals, and then you know, it can be quite profitable on a smaller scale. So for those people who like doing that thing, it's a great way of doing it, but you have to consider that you have plenty of water, I think, that you're not in a drought area, and that you have plenty of land or access to cheap fodder, because for the amount of stuff they eat, you don't get much meat back, I don't believe. But that's my own personal opinion. If you really want to do that, then go and speak to perhaps a beef or sheep person and then see what they say in your local area. Especially one that's, you know, maybe selling it direct to restaurants or things like that, because I think that's probably the highest margin there. Cheese making, again, that's a dairy thing. I did a bit of a stint at a cheese farm, and I went there to learn about cheese. I spent a week in a cheese factory wearing a white hat, a white coat, and white gumboots. And if you want to be a cheese maker, you got to spend a lot of time in the factory itself, you know, 6-8 hours a day, depending on how much cheese you make, of course, and that would probably apply for yogurt as well. But for me, I didn't want to really do that. I like the outdoors stuff, and sure, you would spend a fair few hours outdoors depending on the setup. But for me, again, it was fairly heavily regulated, had to have fairly big infrastructure, and, you know, permission from councils and things like that. And there's also a fair bit of waste, as in milk waste, to deal with. So you had to have systems in place for that. But that was my thing. Of course, there's still quite a good market for cheese products in the goat and sheep. And I've even seen people making camel cheese now. So I'm not denying that that's a good business. And if you like that kind of thing, then sort of go for it. But that's my point of view. I also worked for a vineyard. I worked for Robin Bar Wines for a time, and I sold wine. And that is a good business too. You get a really good margin for your product, but again, it's pretty heavy with the infrastructure. If you're set up, ready to go with that, great. It's a great business. And it also, you can make really good margins if you have a top quality wine. And biodynamics and organic seems to be going well in the wine space. But again, if you're starting from scratch, big investment, you've got to put the vineyard in, you've got to put the winery in, you've got a lot of infrastructure with crushing grapes, barrels, stainless steel tanks, then you've got to know what you're doing with the wine. And it's pretty heavily populated as far as competition is concerned. So you have to come up with something pretty unique, or you have to have a really good market. And it can be achieved, it's just a bit tougher. So that's one reason I didn't sort of go down the wine thing. I could do wine here, I have enough land to do so, but I don't particularly like pruning and things like that. So unless I'm going to hire pruners, then it's something I have to consider. Hay making is another thing. Fodder for other farmers. Again, you need a fairly big land mass. You also need a fairly big investment in machinery like tractors, haymaking equipment, or cereal headers, unless you're going to contract it all. I think you need a really good rainfall or very cheap irrigation water to do it successfully, because without that, if you haven't got a good supply of water, you can't really supply people when they need it most, and that's in the drought time. So if you've got a big land mass, you've got the machinery, and you've got good water supply, then go for it. But I personally just don't like sitting on a tractor all day long running machinery, and they break down at the wrong times, and it's kind of boring in some respects for me. So that's one reason I didn't do that thing. Orchard is another thing that I could have done. It again is a fairly lucrative type of farming. You don't have to deal with any animals or things like that, so it's quite good in that regard if you don't want to. It's a fairly big expense up front, in that you have to put all your fruit trees in at $20 or $30 a piece, you know, depending on how big your orchard is, can be quite expensive. And you have to have irrigation systems in place, so you want a good water supply or irrigation on your land, depending on the farm, of course, and what you're growing. For me, I don't like pruning. It's a huge job. Unless you've got enough trees to pay for the labor to do all the pruning and still make a profit, then look out for that one. But if you're only doing a small orchard for a farmer's market or direct sales to restaurants, then you know, it could be a thing. We could put an orchard here on our 50 acres, but again, I don't like pruning much and don't really want to hire labor at this stage of my life, so that's just my consideration. But I think it's a really good thing. Everybody loves fruit. If you have a really high quality fruit, people will just flock to you. And I have seen some orchardists make juice at the farmer's market and make icy poles and all kinds of dried products. So it has the ability to be diversified in its income streams. So I think that's probably my number two tip. I think grapes are similar, fresh grapes. There doesn't seem to be a lot around at the farmer's markets. That's one thing that I'd probably recommend and something that we're considering here. But again, you have to have really good quality and they're very hard to grow grapes there, organically anyway. There's a lot of disease and pest problems, so and you don't want to have a frost. So that's my knowledge of it. I'm not huge on that area. But anyway, so grapes and fruit, I think, are number two. The reason my number one is, although I haven't mentioned chooks, I like the idea of chooks, or we could do it here, but again, it's animals. If they suffer in any way, it doesn't feel very nice. What do you do with the animals when they're finished? That kind of thing. If you're into chooks and you like them and you can run them free range and they can live a happy life and you can get perhaps a dog to look after them, or you have really good security with cages or whatever, because out here we have eagles and also foxes, and it could be quite hard, although I have seen those dogs that they use there can be quite successful. So they're just things to consider. I think eggs are a great thing if people want them, and they certainly sell well at the farmers market, although there seems to be pretty well supplied, so it's a bit of a highly competitive area, I think. But if you've got a different marketplace or a market where no one goes to, or a restaurant market or something different that you can do, then it's a product that you could consider. Now, the last one, of course, is vegetables, and I chose that for a number of reasons. Number one is I enjoy it. Number two, it's easier to set up. You can get $20 or, you know, $100 worth of seed and away you go. An old tractor, an old plow, you know, a couple of old implements, and by yourself you can achieve many products. And if you go to a market, it's always highly competitive. There's always three or four veggie farmers there, but they can grow different things. Like some of our farmers at the farmers market are down south, and they focus on the greens and the cauliflowers and the leafy things like rocket and lettuce and spinach, whereas I don't grow that terribly well up here, it's too hot. So I focus on melons, tomatoes and sweet potatoes. So we have two different sorts of markets. Sometimes we cross, but then if you differentiate yourself with organics or biodynamics, you can usually go to a farmer's market and find a little niche of your own. And I've sort of found two or three products that I've niched out on, that which is melons, sweet potatoes and tomatoes. I also make a passata. So you've got added value products there you can use, and it's very cheap to set up. I already had a farm. It's got good irrigation. It's got a bore, something to clean the veggies with. I had a cool room already, and so it was pretty easy for me to just flick to veggies. Some of the things you'll need is probably just a tractor of some sort. I mean, I have seen them do it without tractors, but I've seen them use broad forks to rip the soil up and things. But look, it's a lot of heavy work if you can get a tractor and it fits on the farm or one of those little walk behind tractors. I think efficiency wise it's much better. You probably need a ripper of some sort of tine cultivator and a set of discs and a hiller. And an irrigation system, usually a 2-inch pump, some 2-inch black poly, dripper tubes and taps or sprinklers, and away you go. So you can market your products anywhere. There's no much regulation. You only have to register yourself with the council, and they're pretty cool because it's a low risk type of product. So I think it's really good in that respect. So I think that's all. So I hope that thought process helped you with thinking about the different pros and cons of the different farming methods. Again, I'd like to state this is my opinion only, and this is what I've been through with my life. Of course, everybody has different wants and needs, and also likes and dislikes. So my likes may be someone else's dislikes, you know. So some people might love pruning, love dealing with animals, and that's their thing, that's fine. So I just want to emphasize that's all. Anyway, I eventually hope to have on this podcast guests once I've run out of material, but I just want to, at this stage, work it all out and see how it goes and promote this to different places and see how that all works, really. But if you have any questions you'd like answered about biodynamic farming, organic farming, even food-related topics like what goes on your food, whether you're a consumer, and those sort of questions, then send me an email to saveoursoil59@gmail.com, and I will certainly try and answer that for you. That's saveoursoil, one word, lowercase, 59@gmail.com. Anyhow, one last point I'd like to make is that if you are thinking about farming, we do need you. We do need organic and biodynamic farmers. If we are going to help our carbon in our atmosphere, organics and biodynamics takes soil out of the atmosphere and puts it into the soil, providing we're doing it the correct way. And there are older farmers getting out, and there's opportunities there to either lease land or buy land and get started. So I'd like to hear from any young farmer, and I'm trying to support anybody that wants to go into that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Some of the people I spoke to on the weekend have tried it and thought, oh, this is really hard and I don't want to be a farmer anymore. So I would highly recommend anybody who's thinking about farming to just go and work for someone for 6 weeks, a month, half a year, and just see how you go. And work in the different genres and see which one you like, because I think that's the best one. Experience is the best learning. That's one reason I'm doing the podcast, to learn how to do it. So, okay, I think that's all I have for now. So thank you very much for listening, and leave me a review or a comment so I can see how many people I've got or at least subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're on, and I will endeavor to answer any questions. So anyway, thanks for listening and have a good night. See ya.